You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
It is Monday morning, and you know what that means? It means we're back with a brand new edition of On to the Next One, the podcast, right here on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network, as we map out the next moves for some of the notable names of Saturday night's UFC Vegas 10 event. Thank you for joining us. I am Mike Heck, being joined as always by my cohort, my co-matchmaker, the Prince of Positivity himself, Mr. Alex K. Lee. I am excited for this one, man. What say you?
We had a full deck of fights yesterday. Only one fight fell out, and I think we actually got kind of another fight that was added like in the last couple of days. So I think we started the week, I think, with a 12 fight card, and ended the week with a dozen fights. So we got a lot to talk about, a lot of notable performances. If it were up to me, I think like we could have done all 12 fighters who won this week. There was enough storylines. The performances were strong enough. We could do it. But I know we don't have time for that. And we want to make a lot of room for, I think, a dedicated reader submissions section this week.
Yes. Well, let us kick things off the way we should with the main event. And what a main event it was, AK, between Michelle Waterson and Angela Hill. And like Dana White said after the event, it was one of those fights where nobody truly loses in the minds and the hearts of fight fans, but unfortunately for Angela Hill, it will go down as a loss on her record, but a very close, competitive, fun fight. Michelle Waterson gets it done. She's back in the win column. She snaps a two-fight skid. AK, Waterson is kind of in an interesting spot because she's fought a lot of the top names in this division already, but that was a very pivotal win and a big spot for her. What do you think should be next for the Karate Hottie?
First, I'll say we won't be matching up Angela Hill. Unfortunately, we did, again, like I said, there's a lot of fights. We had to stick to just the winners, but there's a lot of directions Hill can go in. I know I'm sure there's enough people out there who thought she won the fight. So we leave that to you guys. Feel free to send your suggestions over social media or whatever medium you'd like to use to reach us, because Angela Hill is certainly deserving of another big fight after this. But Waterson was the winner. She won on two of the judges' scorecards. And she noted after, I believe she was asked the post-fight presser, everyone knows you want a title shot. You will probably have to fight someone again. And I think obviously she's fine with that. At least since there's plenty of fights that she lost, I'm sure she'd love to get back. I am not suggesting a rematch. I want to keep things fresh. Two things immediately jumped to mind. The first was, I think, surprised we haven't mentioned since we started doing the podcast version, Tatiana Suarez. I'm not sure I should say she has been dealing with neck issues. I think what we meant is we don't know exactly the status of those injuries, when she might be able to fight again. So hopefully everything's going well with her health-wise. But since that's a bit of a wild card, my really main pick was next Saturday's winner between Mackenzie Dern and Ronda Marcos.
I like that pick. Mm. It's tough, like I said, because Michelle wants to get to a title fight. She said it as much afterwards. But, I mean, she's going to need some more wins before that can happen. So there's two options that can realistically happen, in my opinion. One, give her the winner of the Claudia Gadelha-Zhao Nanyan fight on November 7th. That works. And like you said, with the Tatiana Suarez factor in play, we don't know what her timeline looks like. So, and once Tatiana comes back, she's going to be inserted in a big fight, maybe even get an immediate title shot. I wouldn't want to see that for her. I'd like to see her get another fight under her belt before she goes and fights for the belt, but I just don't know when that's going to happen. But my other pick, December 12th, from all indications, it's not completely pen to paper yet, but from all indications, Amanda Ribas is going to fight Carla Esparza on that card. If Amanda Ribas beats Carla Esparza, you do Ribas versus Watterson, main event of a fight night. Give her that, give Ribas that 5-round test before you thrust her into maybe a title shot or a number one contender fight. That's what I would do if she doesn't take a big step back. And I know we weren't going to go all in on Angela Hill, but let me just say, I think the Mackenzie Dern beats Randa Markos, I think Dern versus Hill is the fight to make. And then maybe the loser of Esparza versus Amanda Ribas, that could go to Angela Hill as well. But just wanted to throw her name in there in some way, shape, or form. But what else you got?
Yeah, Mike, I think the only reason the Gadelha-Yan fight makes a lot of sense. I think the only reason I did not go in that direction was, so we're getting to the point now where we have, since we do this every week, since there's a fight card every week, I think under normal circumstances we wouldn't be doing an episode every week, but we have a fight every week until, I think, December. So again, we'll be doing this every week. We're getting to the point where we're kind of having to overlap over some of the choices that we've made. So I think before, I think after one of Esparza's recent wins, I think we said we'd still like to see her somehow stay on the path towards a Gadelha rematch. Which I agree with. I think I would like to see that fight again. So that's probably the only reason I shied away from that. And the other thing I want to mention for people is this show is also getting really difficult because you have fighters taking fights on very short turnarounds now. So doing the usual math in our heads where we say, oh, this guy fought here and this guy fought here. So, 6 to 8 weeks is when they'll probably both be ready to fight again, and this is when they could meet up. That actually doesn't matter anymore because now a guy can win, and if the opportunity comes up, they might fight again in 2 weeks against an opponent that you wouldn't even think of because they're just replacing, because they've already been booked and they're just replacing someone else. So I think we're going to start nailing some of these picks, Mike, but I do blame the UFC schedule for our lack of premonitory abilities, if that's a word, so far. But that's a little disclaimer. I meant to break down at the top of the show.
I'm going to count it as a word, so there you go. But yes, you are absolutely correct. But in with this case of the main event with these two ladies just beating the brakes off of each other, I think, maybe, who knows, Angela Hill will probably be back in 2 weeks, but Watterson will probably take a little bit of time off to heal up a little bit and be the mom and the wife and all that stuff. So let's talk co-main event. We saw Otman Azaitar finish Kama Worthy in just over 90 seconds. This guy is just so exciting to watch. Two UFC fights, two quick finishes. Dana White said he wants to turn him around quick for Fight Island. I teased this pick on the post-fight show, AK, and look, it's hard to match up two prospects. I get it, but at 155, it's just unavoidable in a lot of ways. But it has to be the right kind of fight. So my pick, let's get another international fighter in there, see what he can do against another fighter with back-to-back octagon finishes. How about Azaitar versus Joel Alvarez? That is a fireworks fight, in my opinion. You could also go Thiago Moises, since he lost his fight with Jalen Turner last week due to the COVID test. Jalen Turner went on to fight Brock Weaver. Either way, I'm good with either option. What do you think?
Love the Joel Alvarez matchup. That's actually the first name I thought of. Now this is someone we had also mentioned, though. I think when we were matching up Joe Selecki on a previous episode, I think my main choice for him was either Joel Alvarez or Don Madge. I think that's why I want to put Alvarez to the side now, because I think him and Selecki would also be a good fight. And I think you agreed as well. We don't really listen to our own show. We highly recommend a lot of people listen to it, but I mean, there's really only so many hours in the day. you mentioned prospect versus prospect. Yes, I normally would not like to do that either. Another one, if we're talking Fight Island, I think Damir Ismagulov, 19-1 guy from Kazakh, from Kazakhstan. I'm not sure where he hasn't fought since, I think, last year. So I don't know if it's injuries. I don't know if it's, again, COVID-19 travel issues. A lot of fighters fighting outside of the United States had their schedules thrown in disarray, of course, by the pandemic. So that might be it. But it'd be a good matchup. But I think the one I like the most, and again, this is a sort of callback to previous episode, our very first episode that we did of this podcast. We suggested for Kama Worthy, Kama Worthy. Sorry, guys, it's going to get a bit convoluted here. We suggested for Fazayev that he fight Kama Worthy. after Fazayev won his fight in July. And since Worthy lost to Azaitar, then I wouldn't mind seeing Fazayev Azaitar. I think that's the fight that that's Fazayev's fight to take now. So really, there's so many guys in Azaitar's range right now, especially with how exciting he is, that you can't have a bad matchup. But and it's lightweight, for goodness sake. So I'll go with Fazayev. That's actually my number one choice right now.
I actually picked. It's funny because you make your picks, I make mine, and we have to try to remember both of them. Fazeev's name is going to come up on the show because I did choose him for another fighter on this card before he got booked pretty quickly. So, but I will say, little spoiler, my opinion has changed since Saturday night. But let's go to another fighter that is pretty hard to book for. How about Roxanne Modafferi? Because she's fought pretty much everybody to this point. She goes out and beats Andrea Lee. Andrea Lee has lost three in a row. I guess there's two choices here, AK, because this is so tough. Viviane Araújo is one of them, and I do like Araújo versus Grasso, but if we're looking at things from a meritocracy standpoint, Viviane is ranked number 7 right now. Modafferi, I believe, is number 8. So meritocracy-wise, it lines up, and it's a good test for both ladies. I would be fine with that. The other, and I know Roxy may not be overly thrilled with this option, Jessica Ai. And I know Jessica's gone through some health issues, which is why the report of Ai versus Jessica Andrade was reported somewhat prematurely. But the reason why Roxy, may not love this idea is that Jessica's missed weight in her last two fights, and Roxanne has been very vocal about not wanting to be in that situation if she can avoid it. So, I mean, there's other options, but those are the two that I guess make the most sense from a rankings perspective, because Roxanne's fought pretty much everybody in this division already. What do you think?
I mean, I'm like most, you know, reasonable MMA fans, I'm of course a big fan of Roxanne Modafferi. But that said, I don't know if the matchmakers view her in the same way, which isn't to say she isn't well liked. Again, who couldn't like her? But I think they see her as a gatekeeper. I think they see her as more of a litmus test. If she ever gets a title shot, it'll be probably more of the Michael Bisping variety, where she'll have to be a replacement. I don't know if they really see her as someone that they want to dedicate time to pushing up the ranks. So with that said, I really only had one option that I thought made a lot of sense. And again, it is dependent on the result of another matchup. October 17th, Jillian Robertson and Pollyanna Botelho will fight. And I think the winner of that will get Roxanne Modafferi as their chance to sort of move up the rankings. And again, if Roxy wins that fight, which she definitely could, I could see her beating either of those fighters, then I think we revisit if she gets herself a top 10 opponent and a chance to improve her own position.
It's just so hard. It's tough because even like if you book the Araújo fight, you kind of get the best of both worlds. You get someone that's ranked high, but someone you're trying to push a little bit as well if she can get a win over Roxy. But I do like, my heart of hearts, I like Araújo versus Alexa Grasso, but Alexa Grasso, you throw there with anybody at this point at 125. Here's an interesting one, AK. We actually, you know, low-key debated whether or not we were even going to mention this name as far as a winner, but how about Ed Herman? This guy has just been fighting forever. I think I was in high school when he was fighting for the first time when he was on the third season of Ultimate Fighter. Gets a miraculous comeback win. All right, miraculous. Despite the controversy that played out, he deserves an Academy Award with how everything played out. But Mike Rodriguez should have gotten a second straight finish on Saturday night. We all know it. You listening know it. I know it. AK knows it. Chris Tione, the referee, screwed the pooch, as the kids say. But Ed Herman gets his third win in a row. I cannot believe that is a sentence in 2020. At least for now, he has won three in a row until this appeals process plays out. But what a wild fight that was on this wild card. What is next for short fuse Ed Herman after Saturday night?
You mean after his 42nd pro fight and 24th UFC appearance? Yes, and now he has a three-fight winning streak, his longest winning streak in ages. Again, I don't even know how long it's been. I think 6 years. I might be thinking about Bobby Green. Again, a win is a win. It counts. It's a shame that it was overshadowed by the officiating controversy, because otherwise that kind of comeback has to be appreciated. But I don't blame people at all for focusing primarily on the controversy and seeing this as a stolen victory, because it was that as well. So there's both sides of it. Part of me, I think, would just love to see the Meerschaert fight booked again, were it not for the fact that Meerschaert was booked against, of course, our on to the next one mascot, Khamzat Chimaev. So there's your Chimaev mention, people. Please click and subscribe. So I really would like to see that fight booked again, but I don't think it makes any sense anymore, again, because that fight exists. And if Mearshert beats Chimaev, he's going to have a lot of steam behind him. I think he's going to want something higher than a Ed Herman fight. So let's go dependent again. A lot of this week, a lot of matchup-dependent ones. September 19th, this weekend, the Johnny Walker, Ryan Spann?
I think it's Spann.
The Johnny Walker, Ryan Spann loser. Now we have brought up this matchup and the winner as a potential opponent a couple of times in the past for some other light heavyweights who won fights recently. So we haven't said anything what could happen to the loser. I think the loser would be a good opponent for Ed Herman, because I do think they're higher in the rankings despite the fact that they have so much less UFC experience, and because their prospects, kind of like the same mindset I took with Modafferi, it's their chance to get a name against a credible veteran opponent and one that they could probably have an exciting fight with. So yeah, Johnny Walker, Ryan Spann. It might not be a sexy matchup in Ed Herman, but hey, he's won three straight, and those guys are coming off losses, so they could do a lot worse.
I think this would be a good spot for Alonzo Menifield, honestly. He's a young, powerful up-and-comer. Guy needs a win. Not saying Ed Herman's any pushover, but if that fight gets in the second, third round, I think Ed Herman has a good chance of winning that fight. But Menifield, you know, that'd be a nice name to have under his belt to sort of build his confidence back up. I think that might be the best option, honestly. The other one I was thinking about, how about Smile and Sam? You have two wily veterans getting in there and mixing it up. But I'm going to go with my pick from earlier this year, AK, because, again, we overlap, and I believe we mentioned this name on the very first show or one of the early ones. How about Jamal Hill? After Hill's recent win, I said Ed Herman, but now we give Ed some time to heal up. Hill has a little bit of a ganja suspension going on, which is just rubbish, by the way, but that's what I like. And then the other option you had mentioned, Gerald Meerschaert, if he loses to Hamzat Chimaev, set that one back up. But Ed Herman can fight anyone, really, at this point, and it works, right?
I like the Menifield pick because I think we all agreed that him getting the OSP fight after a loss was strange, was a strange choice.
Yes.
I think Ed Herman was probably in this better range for him. I don't remember what Ed Herman's booking status was at the time. Maybe Ed Herman already had a fight schedule and that's why that couldn't happen. But we were like, OSP is like a top 10 guy, former title challenger. And Menifield was coming off that loss to Clark. And it was like, okay. So, yeah, maybe they could write that wrong and make the Ed Herman fight happen. So I do like the Alonzo Menifield pick as well.
If I look distracted, no one can see this right now, but my 7-year-old is kneeling next to me with a Deadpool costume on. There he is.
we'll take a screenshot of that, and we'll get that on Twitter.
Thank
Fans
you.
On to the next one.
Thank you for coming by, buddy. No problem. All right, well, let's talk about Bobby Green. We just did this not long ago, like a month ago.
Yes.
I'm not sure if your pick has changed from before. Mine has. I picked Rafael Fiziev. I'm 95% sure that was my pick after Green's last win and after Fiziev won. I'd still welcome that should it happen. But my tune has changed quite a bit over the last month because Bobby Green is 3-0 in 2020. He continues to not only win, but win convincingly and in dominant fashion. Like, these fights aren't even close. He's just walking through guys and getting lopsided decisions. And what I have been enjoying about Bobby Green is that his personality has come alive this year. He's much more what's the word? I guess approachable as an athlete, because he wasn't always like that back in the day. But now you want to hear what he has to say. He's got a lot of passion behind him. I think he deserves to step up with someone that could get him close to the top 15, and I've been looking for just the right fight for this individual. I know Jose Youngs likes to throw this name out quite a bit, and I think I finally found it. The nicknames, AK, are both somewhat etched in royalty, so why don't we do Bobby King Green versus Alexander the Great Hernandez?
Ah, break out the Alexander Hernandez card, eh?
I'm waiting. I was waiting for the right one. I think this is the right one.
I will be honest with you, I had not thought about that at all. I do not know why. That matchup did not occur to me. I don't remember if we brought it up. Did we bring that up the last time with Bobby? I don't think we did.
We didn't.
This Bobby Green's name next to Alexander Hernandez seems very new to me right now. It's funny you mentioned, I do have Hernandez up higher in the rankings. He's really been riding that Dariush win for a while. And again, it was a good one, but it's funny. I have him up, and also that controversial, the controversial nod over Ronaldo. So it's funny how where his spot is in the rankings. I think people with their personal rankings could put him anywhere, either in the top 20, or I could see them putting him in like the 40 range, depending how they felt about the how long ago the Dariush win was and about the Trinaldo fight. I went with a name, two names, one that I really think is the perfect fight for him, but I think neither of us have committed to it because we just don't know what the status of is of this guy, Ally Aquinta. I keep thinking that they have fought before, and I don't think they have, right? This is not somehow is a fight that hasn't happened, despite them both being around forever. And speaking of which, by the way, when you said Sam Alvey and Herman, that's a fight I'm shocked hasn't happened before.
I know, right?
I should have checked that out, but yeah, no, that has not. So I actually think Aquinta is a perfect opponent for him, but I really don't know where Aquinta is and if he would even take that fight. So the one that I'm going with, and this is one I thought was great. I think I mentioned this as a possibility when this guy won. He beat Jim Miller. Vince Pichel, it might not be a name that Green is thinking of, but he's a veteran on a win streak. Great matchup style-wise. So even before this Patrick fight was booked for Green, I thought that Pichel, I thought he was the next logical opponent for Pichel, and I think it still works. So a lot of ways Green can go. Again, he's a veteran, so he can go, you know, they can kind of think about pushing towards the title or, again, match him up with prospects. So this one, he's one of the toughest guys to predict here. But I like Pichel if that Aquinta fight somehow just never happens. But I do think he fights Aquinta someday.
Wow. Green versus Pichel would be such a grimy fight. I love it. That'd be really competitive. That's a good one. I think either of our two options are excellent choices for Bobby Green. What a year he is having. How about Billy Q? Billy Quarantillo kicking off the main card, has a banger with Kyle Nelson. And for a long time, that was the clubhouse leader for Fight of the Night until the main event happened, at least in my opinion. But Billy Q goes in there. He knocks out Kyle Nelson. He's won 8 in a row. He's 3-0 in the UFC. A lot of fun fights in store for him. He's actually retweeted my post, Billy Q versus blank, because he wants to hear from the people too. So now he's going to hear from us. What do you want to see next for Billy Q, AK?
I have a feeling there's several undefeated guys in his range. I have a feeling you're going to mention one of them. I'm not, so I don't want to spoil your pick. I'll say it after if you don't. But for me, this is a case of wishful thinking. I know I'm kind of going against what I literally just said with people like Aquinta and Tatiana Suarez. We're like, oh, I don't know their status, so we shouldn't book them. But this is wishful thinking because this fighter about to mention, he mentioned in an interview with our friend James Lynch that he suffered an upper body injury. This is about 7 months ago, and there's been no update on it. And it was an injury that he suffered in training that he said could threaten his career. I'm talking about Chaz Skelly. I think Quarantillo deserves a step up in competition. He's 3-0 now in the UFC, and he's looked great in all three of his fights. So I think this is the kind of the right range for him. Not really a top 20 guy, maybe just inside the top 20. And so I'd like to see Quarantillo, if he's going to get a step up, someone like Chaz Skelly, and most importantly, I'd just like to see Chaz Skelly fight again. And I hope that guy's okay. Because when I was reading that story about his injury, it's kind of scary. It's always scary to hear when these fighters are uncertain about their health because they're great athletes. They'll fight through anything. So when they say that they think something serious happened, then that's really a reason for us as fans to be concerned. So Chaz Skelly, Quarantillo, hopefully before the end of the year, that'd be nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, Billy definitely deserves to step up in competition. And I think when the fight ended, my first thought was, let's run it back with Gavin Tucker. Like, we try to make this fight happen and never did. So I would be cool with that. That'd just be a great fight. But I think because Billy Q has been so active and he's had such a nice run, I think he deserves someone ranked even higher. So I like where your head's at with Chaz Skelly. The uncertainty throws me off. So I have two options. And both guys fought each other recently. So I say Billy Q versus either Herbert Burns, or if you want to make sure he fights a guy coming off a win, I know how fans are so sensitive about that, you do Billy Q versus Daniel Pineda. I'd say both of those guys, top 30, 35-ish, maybe even lower on some rankings. So that's the step up for Billy Q. I mean, Pineda is a veteran of the sport. He's been around a long time. And I think both would be fun and interesting stylistically in their own ways.
I love that. Pineda and Burns, of course, Pineda just beat Burns 26 and 27 in my rankings. Quarantillo, very low, and I will explain this. He's just cracked the top 50 after that win. And again, that's not because of his capabilities. This is just how the math works. He's the people he's fought are considerably lower in the rankings. So for me, to move up, you either have to have like a really, really long win streak against really any level of competition, or again, kind of beat someone higher than you, obviously, and just take their spot. So with respect to Kyle Nelson, Spike Carlisle, and Jacob Kilburn, these are not guys with a lot of name power in the UFC. Kyle Nelson, a very solid win, but again, not like a huge, highly ranked guy. So I don't have Quarantillo ranked very highly, so that would bump him up really big if he could get a Burns or a Pineda or a Skelly. So yeah, I like that a lot. I'm just really excited for whatever's next for Quarantillo. His fights have been really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, Dana White is officially a fan of Billy Q as well, so that usually leads to good things and bigger opportunities. I have to say, and I mentioned this on the post-fight show, there is not a single fighter this weekend that flew under the radar more than Sajara Eubanks. She goes in, takes on Julia Avila, who had a ton of hype, ton of momentum, and she gets it done. Sarge dominates the final two rounds, got a 10-8 in round two, just a massive win for her. Now, had Julia won that fight, I think they would have thrown her a fight with somebody in the top 10, and since Sarge got the win, she should get the same opportunity. So my pick actually was pretty easy. Sajara Eubanks versus Yana Kunitskaya. She's at number 8. Let's see what she could do up there. But I have a feeling you may have gone the same direction.
Yeah, there's a lot of continuity there as well, because on a previous show, one of us, I think, at least had mentioned to either give her the Avila Montano winner or the winner of Eubanks Chasson. And since they ended up fighting each other instead of those opponents that we just mentioned, logically, then Kunitskaya should get Eubanks because she beat Avila. I also wouldn't mind seeing the Chasson fight rebooked. Again, I don't know how possible that is, but it is true with the win over Avila. Maybe, well, I don't know. Chasson's definitely higher ranked than Avila. So maybe that is the logical thing to do. I don't know. So if Chasson's interested in that and, again, is able of making a recent date before the end of the year, I'm sure Eubanks would like to get that fight. The other one, no strings attached, because she's unbooked right now, Sarah McMahon.
Yep, that's a good one.
I think Sarah McMahon would be interesting. Very, you know, Eubanks showed what a great grappler she is. Her jiu-jitsu credentials are super legit. And I'd like to see how she'd go against such a high-level wrestler, Sarah McMahon. And again, McMahon's someone I still see with the name, someone I still see as a highly ranked fighter. I don't know, mileage may vary with certain fans, but yeah, if not Kunitskaya, then I think Sarah McMahon is my other option. But I think both McMahon and Kunitskaya are, I think it has to be one of those two.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Both of those would be fun. As we head to our favorite part of the show, which will be followed by perhaps our new favorite part of the show. But first, it's the wild card round where we each pick a fighter we haven't match made for yet, and we do it right now. So AK, per usual, lead us off. Who is your UFC Vegas 10 wild card selection?
I was trying to guess who you would pick because I didn't want to overlap, but it may happen anyway. Like I said, there were so many good options. You mentioned Eubanks was the only one that flew under the radar kind of going into this card and after the card was over. But that's because there was just so many standouts. I mean, I don't know if you're like, I don't think you're going to match up Kevin Kroom unless I'm wrong. Maybe he's your wild card pick. But that guy was one of the stories of the night. And by the end of it, because so much other stuff had happened, people kind of forgot that on many other cards, he'd be one of the top three storylines for sure. Beating Roosevelt Roberts in 31 seconds on short notice after, I think it's like a 30-something career UFC fight. So shout out to Kevin Kroom if we don't talk about him any further. But I had to go with the newest addition to the heavyweight roster, King Kong, Alexander Romanov. My goodness, what a fun fight that was with Roque Martinez. Roque Martinez, tough as nails, but just a little in over his head against a guy with Romanov's grappling. Two really good options here. The first one I thought of was the vanilla gorilla, Chase Sherman. You know, if you want to go the veteran route, I think that's a good way to go. The other one, and this guy's itching for a fight, I don't think he's booked right now, Tanner Boser, Canada's own Tanner Boser. He's definitely strikes me as this kind of heavyweight of the Derek Lewis mold in the future, where he's just going to fight anybody. I don't think he cares about rankings. I don't think he cares about the number next to their name. Boser maybe should get someone who's not 1-0. You know, again, he's had a few fights in the UFC now, but style-wise, that could be a fun matchup, good test for Boser. But if you don't want to see, again, either guy kind of derail because you like them both so much, then, yeah, I'd say go with a veteran name like Chase Sherman. I think it's a step up in competition for Romanov, but not too big a leap.
Boser is booked. He's fighting Andrei Arlovsky.
Oh, how can I forget that?
On Fight Island, October 3rd. I want... You know me so well, AK. I wanted to pick Romanov so badly just because he stood out to me. But I think the fight for him is the original matchup he had with Marcos Rogério de Lima. I think that's sure. that's just a madness fight. I think that's the one they try to rebook. But my pick, because I feel like he's not getting enough attention, and I think his story is great, Brian Barberina. Guy just comes back from back surgery, got a nice win over Anthony Ivey. It was a classic Bam Bam fight. No matter who Brian Barberina fights, it's going to be entertaining. So I guess it doesn't really matter, but this fight stuck out to me immediately after the Barberina fight, because there's another welterweight with a bit more cachet than Anthony Ivey, who recently suffered an injury. He's going to need some time to heal up. And to add to that, I could not have hated his recently scheduled matchup anymore with Miguel Baeza. How about we do Brian Barberina versus Mickey Gall? That was my thought, like, immediately after the fight.
It's funny. That was, well, you know what? This is a good segue into the, I like the matchup. This is a good segue into the fan suggestions section. Before I get to that, though, I'm interrupting my own segue. That's right. This is our show. I can do that. I just didn't want to leave people hanging, because I did say I was going to play off your Quarantillo pick. Because if they want to go prospect versus prospect, sorry, this is my last Quarantillo note. There's guys like Yusuf Zalal, Giga Chikadze, and if you're going to go even a little higher, a Grant Dawson. I prefer to keep all those guys away from each other for now, but it'd be kind of a cool thing to see that happen. Sorry, that's my last Quarantillo note. I don't want to leave people hanging. I know people can't sleep at night when, you know, someone on a podcast makes a point and they don't follow up on it. But yes, you solicited reader picks on Twitter, I believe, Mr. Mike Heck,
yes.
Asking who should Brian Barberina fight next, which I think got the most responses of some of the questions we asked last night. And I'll just quickly run down the names that are thrown out there. I'm sure you saw them. Mike Perry, of course, a popular name on the show every welterweight that wins, people want to see fight Mike Perry. Lyman Good, which I think makes a lot of sense ranking-wise. Might not have the most cachet, but it's up there. King of Karate, Muslim Salikov's name thrown out there. Bilal Muhammad. And Gunnar Nelson. Oh, I should be reading out these people's names. Thank you, Adam. Adam Provost 1, at Duke Friday 11, at Bobby Jackson 3B. And then the name you mentioned was supported by at Mystic Rick Mickey Gall. He said he agreed. He said Mickey Gall should get that opportunity. And someone playing off that at KRWX16 noted that Sage lost to both of these guys. So it'd be the battle of people who have beaten up Sage Northcutt. It doesn't really fit on the marquee. It's a little clunky. You know, we can work on that. We can workshop that, but. Yes, that was Brian Barberina's suggestions. And then we just have a few for a couple of we asked for on the site Twitter account. Sabina Mazo, who I think we have to mention,
sure,
opened the card in a great way. The great fight with Justine Kish, and I think her signature win in the UFC so far. First woman to finish Justine Kish. We didn't get great results. Someone said Marion Renault, which would be at 135. Mazo, I guess, has said that she would like to move up some point in the future, but I hope she doesn't do that anytime soon, unless we're just talking about she wants to take a fight in whatever 3 weeks because she wants to stay busy and just doesn't want to cut weight. Then I guess it's possible. That was from at Brewer Chris J. And then at Kava_Ava says Macy Barber, which I feel like we brought up, but I don't know. What do you think about that, Macy Barber? Take the two young prospects and just throw them in there against each other.
I think Macy Barber should fight Andrea Lee. I think that's the fight to make. I think I said this in the post-fight show. There's only one fight for Sabina Mazo to make, and that's Ariane Lipsky. That's the fight. That is the one at 125.
Yes. Yeah, I actually wish, again, like I said, we had to stick to the winners this week, but you did mention you said Lipsky and Mazo.
That's
which
fair.
Which one of those which I thought had – has that never even been booked?
I don't think so.
It sounded so familiar. When you said it, it just felt right. It felt so right that I was like, this has to have been booked before and fallen.
You know
through.
Why? Because I'm pretty sure you said after Lipsky's win in her last fight that she should fight Sabina Mazo, who was already booked to fight Justine Kish. So, say full circle. We're going around and around here.
I just looked at my notes. You are 100% correct. This is why I sounded right. Because the words escaped my mouth no more than 2 months ago. Guys, there's a lot of cards going on. All right, yeah. There's a lot of cards. This math is getting very complicated. The last name we asked out was Bobby Green. We only got a couple suggestions. Fazeev, again, which I think we sort of talked about today. And one, which I think I also mentioned with Green last time, and I still love this matchup as well, Drew Dober. So that's from those two suggestions from at Anthroposcenix. No, I said that right. And at Steve is crying on Twitter. So at Steve is crying, I hope you feel better, because I do like the Drew Dober suggestion and could really see the matchmakers feeling the same way and putting that one together.
Drew Dober is booked for his next fight.
Who's he fighting now?
Diego Fajeda on December 7th.
Oh.
Or December something. December 5th, maybe?
That has to be a matchup we've discussed before. We've discussed a lot of matchups.
But I like that. Diego wants that fight anyway, so.
I wouldn't mind Bobby getting the winner of that one. Has he fought Fajeda?
No, this will be... They were booked. They were booked to fight. Yeah, they were booked to fight to before. I don't know if it was the one that Hernandez jumped in and took. I don't remember.
I think a lot of us are just excited to see Bobby Green getting busy again. There was a stretch there both of inactivity and inconsistent performances, which is normally the path to a UFC release and oblivion in the eyes of the memory of the MMA fans. Somehow, in the year of our Lord 2020, he has turned things around. So, that's the fact that we have mentioned him twice already on to the next one tells you what kind of year Bobby King Green is having.
For sure. November 7th is that fight between Dober and Fajeda. That's going to be a good one. That's a big one. I think I would have liked to see Fajeda get the Charles Oliveira fight. I think he probably deserves that, but something tells me that Charles Oliveira is going to get an even bigger fight now, but we'll see. Maybe with one El Kakui Tony Ferguson now that Dustin Poirier is out of play.
And on to the next one, teaser.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. So don't be like, oh, my, you know, it's out there. Mike reported this. No, I didn't report this. I'm just saying, unless they sign Michael Chandler in the next week or two, there's no other fight that makes sense for October 24th besides Charles Oliveira. But that's it. That was the last listener suggestion.
That is the last. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, readers and people on Twitter. Love the suggestions. Keep them coming. Hashtag on to the next one. Or hashtag OTTNO, which I'm trying to get going. But these things take time.
Yes. These things take time. We're still the new kids on the block. This is episode 9. So we're almost at number 10.
Yep.
I'm just going to look real quick to see if we have any kind words.
If you have to look this hard, that's probably not a good sign.
I don't really look that often, but nothing extra to read. But
we feel the love anyway. We feel it.
We see it on Twitter. We appreciate it. But that's going to do it for another edition of On to the Next of the Podcast. If you have your own matchmaking thoughts, mention the aforementioned Twitters. He is at Alexander K. Lee. I'm at MikeHeck_JR. Join us next Monday as we matchmake for UFC Vegas 11, Covington versus Woodley. That card is ridiculous. As we're on the road to UFC 253. And yes, Khamzat Chimaev will likely be match made for win or lose. Let's make the promise here. We're matchmaking for Khamzat Chimaev, even if he loses to Gerald Meerschaert, because we mention him on every show, and it's going to be that way for the foreseeable future. So get ready for that. And in the meantime, we are done. Thank you for listening. Don't take it too seriously. We're just like you, trying to make the best fights possible for fans around the world and bragging rights for ourselves to see who's better at this matchmaking thing. But I have a feeling things are going to get hot and heavy with some of these fights getting booked and turned around. The rotation's about to switch here. But we'll see you next Monday right here on to the next one, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/Vox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.